We're Ulta Beauty's fastest growing prestige makeup brand. I actually just feel like I'm 35 and in the best place in my life. I would like to have romantic love and a partner, but not at the expense of like who I've worked so hard to become. Why can't I be masculine and feminine all in one in different parts of myself? I think a lot of women think they have to turn into this like different feminine version of themselves. I always have manifested my work life, but never my personal life. So that's why I'm saying it out loud. Like, I'm finding love this year.
You think a career is more important than being a mom?
When a woman takes on masculine traits, she's a broken woman. When a man takes on feminine traits, he's a broken man.
A lot of these girls, they usually go home and cry at night from being lonely, from not having a man.
You can only be soil up until you're about your mid-30s.
When a woman walks into a room, they don't ask her, oh, what do you do for a living, blah, blah, blah. You guys hug each other and say, oh, do you have a boyfriend? Do you have kids?
A woman in her 30s who's killing a professional is alone. It's like super successful, but.
I just feel like we've been taught our whole lives you're not complete until you solve this part of your life. And again, I want it, but I don't need it. I think because as an ambitious woman, it's so hard to find a guy who's not intimidated by my success and approaches me, that respecting me has to be the number one thing, because that already narrows out so many men.
Woo! We know statistically that very successful women stay single and have a very hard time finding a partner.
Yeah.
There's like the things that you did to become successful in your business will not make you successful intimately. I think that you would challenge that.
I would challenge that.
Look at you.
Hello.
At the door. Houses for the mostest. Gosh, you look amazing.
Thank you.
And this house is gorgeous.
Welcome to my home.
Wow. I know we talked a while ago on the phone, and we're talking about how a nice guy can still be nice, but just not your guy.
It's so funny, because when you said, what more do you want? I was like, a man would be nice.
You just imagine. For, I think, a lot of powerful, successful women, there's this idea women have to tuck away their career side in order to invite in their intimate side.
You can fully be yourself with the right guy, and they bring out that femininity in you. But I didn't realize it because I always felt like I had to change who I was to make a man feel more masculine.
And then I feel like if you were completely in whatever we describe as feminine energy, but what I think of it as, then you would have stayed with the nice guy.
1,000%.
That's right?
Exactly it.
Does this feel like a flow?
It does.
Yes?
It does, yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Just me and tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, it's fine.
This episode of Lovers is presented by Bumble. Date your way on Bumble. You know what I really love about you in the last 10 minutes we've been together?
What?
You don't deflect compliments.
This is new for me, though. I 100% grew up. I think it's like an immigrant mentality, too. It's like, oh, no, and a woman thing, too.
Yes.
But it's new. I actually just feel like I'm 35 and in the best place in my life. I feel mind, body, soul so secure. Which is amazing, right? They always say, like, you meet your life partner when you're the best version of yourself, and I always thought that was bullshit. But I do feel like I manifested everything in my life, and I'm manifesting that also.
I'm so excited to hear your story, and we're gonna go back to go forward. But before we do that, let's talk about the now. The reason I know you, I knew your brand first, and then I knew that you were in existence second, and it blew my mind. I just didn't think that somebody who looks like you, who is your age, who has your background, could be one of the biggest brands, and is going to be one of the biggest brands as you continue to rise. Because what did you just tell me, that stat?
We're Ulta Beauty's fastest growing prestige makeup brand, which is surreal. Like, when I walked in and I saw the space, it's NARS, Charlotte Tilbury, Live Tinted, and then Kylie Cosmetics, and it's surreal to me. It's like the people who started those companies don't look like you or I.
Mm-hmm.
So to be in the category of like growing as fast as we at Ulta Beauty, we're in every single Ulta door in the nation. It's crazy. I do pinch myself. This has been my dream since I was 16. So it's like a manifestation to real life thing. And it blows my mind that you knew the brand before me, because that is my dream too. So it's just crazy that like whenever I see you like use my products on the internet, I like die. It's
yes.
Like the best feeling.
Well, speaking of which, let me get started so okay. I can look as half as cute as you.
Yes.
Do I start here?
You can start there. Yeah, that's our number one product. It's our SPF.
I love that you said you can, not like there's a very specific way. Oh,
dead.
White couch is very sex expert of me.
That was so on brand.
Yeah, very on brand. I know originally we were going to talk about the power of acknowledging that a guy can be a nice guy, just not your guy.
Yeah.
But I'm actually really curious to talk about bringing your full self to romantic relationships. Because
yes.
Not only has it been your dream to live out what you're living right now career-wise, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you've also always wanted to be a mother.
Always.
And always wanted to be a wife and to have a family. And that became a focus of yours when? Kind of take me on the journey of that.
You know, I think when I turned 30, I froze my eggs because I was like, there is not a path of having kids anytime soon, but I knew I wanted it so deeply. And from then to now, I think the difference is that I was a really insecure person when I was 30. Mm. In every way, with my business, with my personal life. I wouldn't feel good about my body, when I started Live Tinted, I was so deeply unhealthy. Like, I was that person drinking a bottle of wine, eating food. It was kind of like how I coped. So I think, like, going from that to now where I am is I feel physically, emotionally, and mentally the best I ever have in my entire life. And do the skin tint.
Okay. Thank
that
you.
That one. Yeah. And I think because of that, I feel like I can now show up in relationships too.
When we talked the start of the year, you were like, I'm actually hyper-focusing on this while also hyper-focusing on your business. Yeah. How did you find the time to do both?
I think you make time for the things you care about. And that you're so right, though. I used to think, oh, if I exit my company or if I sell it, then that'll be the time that like I start focusing on dating or something like that. And then I was like, no, I want this. I want kids. I want a family. I want a life. And you just have to decide like what your priorities are. Mm-hmm. And I've never said that, by the way. Like whenever I vision board and stuff, the whole thing is always work related.
Yeah.
I always have manifested my work life, but never my personal life. So that's why I'm saying it out loud. Like, I'm finding love this year.
And then you have approached this, I think, in a, I want to say the word strategic way, but we use the word intentional way.
Yeah, more feminine saying intentional.
Yeah, okay, so tell me about it.
I now tell everyone in my life that I'm single and I would love to meet someone, and if they know anyone, I would love to meet them. Which is a weird, it's a hard thing to say out loud, right? You feel like you look a little desperate. The way I see it is that like doing it through through friend of a friend is 100% gonna be better than someone on an app because at least they're vetted in some capacity.
Yes.
So that's been the biggest thing, honestly. Like every conversation when I meet someone, I'm like, yeah, I'm actually interested because I think I've absolutely put out the energy into the world that I'm not looking for anyone. So everyone in my life doesn't even think about setting me up, but I'm ready. So I've been super intentional about that. And going on dates, I've like set goals. The same way I set business goals, I've set like dating goals, which is corny, but it's working. I said to myself, 3 dates a month. And in January I did that, in February I did that.
Is it 3 different people that you're dating or 3 dates, period?
Different humans. It's a numbers game, you know?
Yes.
Because I also don't know what I want. I always say like, oh, I want a guy, like my therapist told me, she was like, you need to write out and journal and say exactly what you're trying to look for in a life partner. So I did that. Again, this is all about the intentionality of how I'm dating. And now when I go on dates with people, I'm like, are they this? Are they that? And I go back to that list that I wrote out.
How long is that list?
It's like the journal's like this big. It's so funny. I feel like I should get the journal and read some of the things.
Yes.
I realize that I am so brainwashed by my parents that if I didn't write out this list, the person I have been manifesting and dated in all my 20s were the things that they wanted, not the things that I wanted. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest difference in my life today is I'm searching for what I want, not what my immigrant parents want.
I think a majority of North American people, their parents have quote unquote love marriages and they would still attest to the same thing that you just said. So it's just not a matter
of... Okay, that's fair.
It has to be the work, the intentionality that you put into it. Yeah. And then, of course, being really specific about what you want, because even if you're not being arranged, you're still arranging yourself based on other people's expectations.
Ooh, wow. I think, okay, so I'm gonna read this list and then tell you like the part that I was shocked that I put on here. Communication, funny, kind, nice, good heart, dresses well, has swag. Important things only.
Number 3.
Yeah, family values. And then I put manly, like in quotes. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because it's like, what does that actually mean is different for everyone?
Yes.
So that was an issue. I literally put manly in quotes. I put makes me feel feminine in energy, open-minded, secure, supportive, my cheerleader, loves to see me shine, financial stability, a happy person, likes to see me happy, do things that bring me joy as I want to see, to do things that bring him joy. A planner, but is flexible, optimistic, positive person, wants to do good in the world and give back like I do, friendly and can go into a room and not latch by my side, is generally a social person and ambitious.
Wow. It's actually really good because one of my favorite books that I read before I started really aggressively, intentionally dating was the signs of happily ever after. And it said it's really important to choose three things maximum.
Okay.
Because when you go to the grocery store, but these are actually, I could probably group all of your things into three categories.
You're right.
A lot of them are just the same way of saying something different. Like, I just want somebody who's ambitious and enjoys my ambition. Mm-hmm. I want somebody who I want to see win and also loves to see me win in return.
That.
Right. So, yes. There's a bunch that can be grouped in there. Because the point is that if you go on a date with somebody and you have this list of 40, you're not going to know which one to prioritize.
Yeah.
So you might end up prioritizing clean shoes.
Yeah.
likes the same music as me and has a dog. And then, meanwhile, they're a narcissist and a maniac. But you're like, oh, I didn't have the time to assess against those because
my list
is so big.
My list looks nothing like those things. Like, I don't even have, a location, has a home, or, material things like that. It's more overarchingly, I think, because as an ambitious woman, it's so hard to find a guy who's not intimidated by my success and approaches me that I can't get that specific. Because respecting me has to be the number one thing, because that already narrows out so many men.
Woo!
That's literally it. And so that's what I realized is, my list actually can't be about a specific body type or looks and things like that. I used to downplay myself on dates, too. I would just be like, they're like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I work in beauty. That's, how I would say it. And then, what do you do, for hobbies and stuff? I would be like, try to make up feminine things. Like, I'm getting into cooking and, try to say, cutesy, demure things. And now I'm like, honestly, I work really hard. And I'm looking for a partner to develop hobbies with. And when people ask me, what do you do for a living?
Really
I was like, I run
answer.
A company. And I used to say, and the last few dates I've been going on, it's so cool to meet men who are just attracted to that. I used to think I had to not be this person. I think a lot of women think they have to turn into this different feminine version of themselves. Every book says it, right? There was a girl on set yesterday who told me, she was like, you need to read the book. It's called The Rules.
Yes.
Have you read it?
It's from the 60s.
Okay.
It's Ellen Fien, I believe.
Well, what she told me, it sounds like it's from the 60s.
Right.
It was very, very backwards in thinking. Don't respond to the message right away. They won't be into it. Whatever. And I don't know. I mean, I just met this guy last week, but who knows? But all I know is I've been fully being myself and not downplaying any part of myself. And it feels so freeing to think I can be myself and actually meet someone. Cool.
Is there a specific formula, though? Because we know statistically that very successful women stay single and have a hard time finding a partner.
Yeah.
We also know that a lot of the advice, because a lot of men have microphones now, a lot of the advice from the male pundits, the gurus that we call male podcasters, there's the things that you did to become successful in your business will not make you successful intimately. Yet, I think that you would challenge that. You know what it's giving? It's giving The Rock.
It is. It is. Yes,
and then
with the
look,
chain.
Cool tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a like. Yes?
I think it's a like. I think it's a yes.
Can I do it?
Okay.
Thank you.
This episode is sponsored by Bumble. Bumble wants you to date different. And I know there's a conception out there that dating is all about finding your person. And yes, of course, it's about that. It's also about finding your people. People that you enjoy yourself around. People that you enjoy doing things you love around. And that's why I am heavy into the Discover feature they have.
Mm.
You don't know about it?
No.
I'm gonna school you. And I'll school you guys too. So Discover is a personalized page within Bumble that allows you to see your top curated matches based on your shared interests, your communities, and your dating intentions, what it is that you're looking for.
Yeah.
This way, you get to do less swiping and more connecting with people who you actually have common ground with. I love this feature for you in particular because you're new to the city. All right, my work here is done. Let's work on you guys now. Bumble helps you find people who match your vibe with personalized recommendations curated for you daily. And this is part of the free experience on Bumble. All you do, go down to the bottom of your nav bar, find that Discover button, click, and then stop swiping so much and start connecting. I think it's a beautiful time to start dating and dating your way. And if you're gonna do that, date now on
Bumble.
Okay.
I would challenge that. And I just think it takes the right guy to bring out that different energy in you. Why can't I be masculine and feminine all in one in different parts of myself? As men, by the way, should feel comfortable having both of those traits in themselves too. That's the other thing, is finding a man with any kind of EQ is negative chance of that happening. And so when you do find it, it's wait a second, you're comfortable enough showing your femininity and your masculinity. Why can't I do the same? And that's been really dope for me to see, is the idea that maybe I'm not going to cook dinner, but I'll make sure dinner is there. And why can't you help with doing the dishes? Like, you know, it's like a partnership vibe. But also, I love like looking sexy and wearing a tight dress and like him grabbing me and taking assertiveness in that way. Like, why can't that mix exist? It just doesn't in today's world, or people don't talk about it enough.
I'm so turned on right now. I think you know what it is. I saw you at Liza Koshy's party.
Yeah.
I think we chatted really briefly.
Yeah, I remember.
And at that time, which might have been, I don't know, the fall.
Yeah.
But you were like, I've done it with a certain kind of man. I need a masculine man. I need a manly man. I need to be in my feminine. I'm in my masculine all day long. Yep. I want to break from that. And why is it that what has made you very successful in one area can't apply to the other within the right partnership who's excited about those things about you? And
yeah.
So this idea that, you know, I've been on tons of podcasts before or where somebody will stand up and say, I've been in my masculine for 12 years and I feel so disappointed with myself.
Yeah.
How do I stop being so masculine? It's like, well, you don't have to stop. You can just appreciate the work that you've done to build
yes.
up this very important part of yourself
yes.
and then build the rest.
Yes.
But not demolish in return. Like, it doesn't have to be this or that.
I'm so happy you reminded me that I said that because I'm proud of where I am today in life versus where I was just a few months ago. That's crazy. Because you're so right. I had this whole concept that like, well, if the guy, I have to get a hyper alpha and like masculine dude because that's the only way I'm going to be able to feel feminine. And both can exist and they do exist in a human being. We are supposed to be both of those things. But also, oh, that makes me so happy because I do feel like I've evolved in my thinking on this stuff. It goes back to still my parents being in my head. Like, I don't know, money stuff is weird to me. I'm curious your thoughts on this because like, I always felt like I needed to meet a guy who made more money than me because they wouldn't be able to handle it. Not me, but they would feel small if they felt like they were with a woman who was making more than they were.
Yeah, I think it is, in life, you come with certain things that just click and just work. You
yeah.
have compatibilities, you have things that align also too with your parents' expectations, with everyone else's expectations. You don't have to manually work on them. And then there's other things that come that just take a bit more work. Because of the societal conditioning, because of the narrative that we've all gotten, I think it does take work. So I don't think you can maybe find a partner whose mom was the breadwinner, mm-hmm. who already has that, you know, muscle memory in place. But
yeah.
I think most people have to learn a different way of being.
Yeah.
And I think it's very beautiful to go on that together and then to acknowledge that value isn't tied to a number. And that contribution isn't something that is only felt based on how much money you're putting down. It's about the love that you pour in, the effort that you have, the family that you build, the legacy. I'm a very big fan of being submissive in relationship, but I think you have to be submissive to the partnership's goals. So we
yeah,
have
give
to
me an
both.
Example.
So if you and me are like together,
yeah,
and I'm like, I want to own a business, I want it to be very successful, I want to have multiple employees, and I want to have a family, I want to have kids, and I want for us to be a hub of community.
Mm-hmm.
If both of us are only attacking one percentage of that goal, well, then we'll never really achieve the mission. There has to be diverse commanders, diverse lieutenants,
wow.
right, who are getting us to that mission. It's, and it ebbs and flows.
The ebbs and flows parts is another thing for me, too. It's like you have to realize there's chapters in life. Like, I don't know. My mom, by the way, said this to me, which is crazy because she's not. In my mind, my mom wants me to marry someone who's very financially got their shit together. And it's not that she doesn't, but she said to me, she was like, honestly, Deepika, if you find someone who will be a great dad and be a good partner to you, maybe that's actually what you need over somebody who is, you know, money bags in the bank. And I was shook as an Indian mom.
Yeah.
That's not a thing. It was always doctor, stability, and all the things. But I think she just realizes I'm different.
Last year, I took a pause from the podcast, and I just wanted more time to just settle. He
wow.
had a reality show come out on Hulu last year, so he wasn't home a lot.
Wow.
But I was like, this is great, because I want this time anyways to recenter myself. And I have been on go mode so much, so now you can go, and then I can take more of the mothering role or just more the domestic role. And then this year, I've been launching a bunch of stuff. I have a masterclass.
You have a masterclass!
And I feel like Jared has been in such a supportive role of me. I gave birth to our second kid, and he was on tour. He wasn't there. So,
wow.
But we have found that rather than looking for it to, I guess, hit a certain quota or standard or just be a certain narrative. It's just flowed a bit better because, again, we're just devoted to the mission that we both have for what we want for our lives.
Wow.
But I think that to your point, let me just back it up and say this. We're talking about how hard it is to find people and the challenges of it, yet I haven't known you intimately, and I'm still getting to know you intimately, but yeah. I haven't known you intimately for that long.
Yeah.
But since I've met you, I've heard of 3 different suitors. So,
no,
yeah, there was like, yes, there was.
You're right, actually, there's been 3.
So I'm like, it can't be that hard.
Yeah, and on it, they've been through, one of them was through Raya, but like the other two have been through friends. I've been getting set up. It's like, honestly, everyone should just put out into the universe and tell the people in their lives that they are open and interested and want to be set up. It's worked. And even if they're not my person, they were cool people. I don't regret the date.
Right. That's huge.
Yeah.
I think getting to a place where you no longer regret dating because you're dating people that are enjoyable to be around, which
yeah.
leads us nicely, I think, into this nice guy,
yeah.
not my guy conversation, which I think is a very boss bitch thing to do, like I said, mm-hmm. to be able to cut that off
mm-hmm.
And say, like, you know what? I think that I've given all that I can and you in return. I don't think that this is going where we want it to go,
mm-hmm.
even though there's nothing glaringly wrong.
Like, great guy for someone else. Great guy for that chapter of my life, but not my guy forever. Such a, like, weird concept, especially when you're 35 and dating, because it's like, wait a second. If you dated for, like, a year plus at 35, you're usually, most people think about, like, oh, okay. Like, is this my forever person? And to end it then and say I'm gonna start over because I, like, saw a flash forward for the rest of my life and I just felt like I needed just something a little different. It's so crazy. Gosh, I've been reflecting on it so much, but it is funny that you said that. By the way, there's been more than 3. I've talked to you about 3, but I told you 3 dates a month. I mean, I went through this whole thing of like, the scarcity mentality just has to go. There's 7 billion plus people in this planet, and I'm a catch. And so I've kind of shifted my mentality from, oh my God, scarcity, no one's out there, to I'm a catch, and it's going to take me longer than most people in my life because my life is specific and it's a life that I love. And my person hasn't come around yet because it hasn't been my time yet. And because I'm the best version of myself now. I was like a needy person back in the day. I was an insecure person back in the day. I needed a man to tell me I was beautiful. I mean, don't get it twisted. Everybody still wants to hear that from their person. But I needed it to feel secure with myself. But I am the most secure I've ever been in my life. Therefore, like, the way I show up in relationships, it's like scarcity is no longer in my mind. There is an abundance of men out there. I just have to find the one that I want for me. My identity has always been my job. Boss, bitch, girl, boss, stuff, 24/7. And now I'm like, wait a second, I want to be a whole human and I have to prioritize this other part of my life. And from 30 to 35, it's the work. Therapy, journaling, cutting the people out, having conversations with dope people, and like being open to the fact that like the whole life is happening for you, not to you thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sit down and make an active choice for yourself and say, I want a family, I'm gonna manifest a family, I want love, I deserve love. And my life to this point is this life because it was meant to be this life for me. I love my life. That's the crazy thing is like, I love my family, I love my friends, I love my job, I love my world, I love myself. So to bring a person into that, they have to really bring something extra and special to be a part of it. Otherwise, like, I'm good with me. A guy asked me on the first date if I'd be open to a prenup, and I looked right back at him, and I was like, are you open to a prenup?
Yes.
Because I was like, not you asking me. Like,
was that a turn on or a turn off?
I felt like it was like, you know exactly who I am. We got set up through a friend. So in my mind, I was like, you know exactly who I am. You know I'm a girl who equally wants a prenup.
Yeah.
So I felt like
I'll
was
bring
a
up
little
the prenup.
Bit, right. So that's why I think it was a little bit of
him. A flex.
He was trying to like make me feel, it wasn't like a feminine thing. It was like a power thing.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a second date.
Yeah. I can see, I definitely can feel that.
Yeah.
And I also think that prenups are a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Because you're either signing the government's contract or you're making your own.
Yes.
So why not make your own? Yeah. However, none of your goddamn business. Thank you very much.
Also on a first date, come on. Like,
It is weird.
I think like even a third date, because again, when you're dating at this age, you intentionally date. Real life things do come up quicker. It is weird, but like people, you know, your girlfriends will be like, oh my God, y'all already talked about this. You already did that. And it's like, yeah, I'm 35. I want to have kids and I want to have a family. And, you know, I've actually gotten the advice from my therapist that I should be honest about that on dates. Like, I say it on first dates and be like, now that I'm 35, like, I'm intentionally dating and I want to have kids. I say things like that, which people would be like, whoa, whoa, guys, that'll freak a guy out. And I'm like, it won't freak out the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
I do sometimes feel weird talking about this as if I've solved it because I'm still single. But the weird thing is, I don't know, I just feel like we've been taught our whole lives you're not complete until you solve this part of your life. And again, I want it, but I don't need it. I just want it.
Well, what is the power of talking about it as if it's already happened? And does that apply to Live Tinted?
I was going to say, it's just how I did it with work. So I'm applying those same principles to my personal life, is that I manifested it all. I literally said I was going to have a brand and it was going to have these products and it was going to sell at this retailer and all these things. And so why can't those same principles exist for your personal life? So this is what I'm telling myself, at least. I'm like, if you made all this happen in your work life, why not do the same for your personal? That's where I'm at. I literally catch myself on a text thread right now with this dude and I'm like, oh, I just had my board meeting. So I'm like straight up talking about my board meeting. And then right afterwards, like saying something that I can say on your podcast, but I can't say because if my mom watches this, but like something cute and sexy,
yes.
You know? And I went, what I'm watching. I die when you, I feel like I want to share this. Like when you first reached out to me, I was like, I want to have this convo with her because I'm in this new divine feminine energy in myself. But I was also like, my dad watches all my interviews.
Yes, I love that. I love that you called Cammy too and you were like,
I did.
Am I going to regret this?
Yes.
What is she going to ask?
She told me to shut the fuck up and go on the podcast.
Yes, that's my girl.
She's the best. Yeah, she's another person. I mean, she's, by the way, the person I text with every relationship and everything. And it's so nice to have those friends that, you know, just like want this for you. But by the way, she's super different from me. Like if you were asking her all these same questions, she's very like, the feminine rule book of what like life is and doesn't reach into her masculine with men at all. So I just think it's interesting because she's a boss herself. And so to be around girlfriends who have different approaches is just, I don't know, it's interesting.
I had a previous partner where we would be together and I'd be like on my phone for a second doing some kind of work thing. And then he'd be like, put your phone away. We're supposed to be having fun.
My whole 20s.
But I am having fun.
Yes.
Like, this is actually fun for me. So why do I have to deny that in order to have other parts of my life lit up too?
This is hitting so deep. And it goes back to the work-life balance conversation that everyone's like, there's no such thing as work-life balance. But it's like, I feel like if you love your work and it is your life, it does feel like balance. And not enough people think that way. Like, great example is, I'm in Europe traveling. Ooh, and having...
Say that again. If you love your work...
And it is your life, then it should feel balanced.
Yes.
For me, right? Like, I just found that when I go on vacation and I'm traveling or doing something, I'm like, oh, well, I'm turning off my camera, I'm turning off my phone, I'm closing my laptop, I'm not working. Or it's like, I'm going to be in Europe for 3 weeks and I'm going to check my emails for a few hours that day and then go to the fucking beach and enjoy my best life. And it's like that divide and that cut used to be so harsh for me. I was like, it was either work or personal life, work or personal life.
And I think we can actually apply this to masculine and feminine too. Because if you love your masculine and you adore your feminine too, then it does actually complement each other in a relationship. It's not a switch that you have to turn off or on, especially if you have a partner who's able to integrate theirs as well. I want to talk in closing about the boss CEO element of it, of also being able to fire people. You know, you fired friends, as you mentioned, and people who you felt like were not adding to the vision that you had for your life. But that also comes with you're dating three people or going on dates with three different people a month.
Yeah.
That means that a lot of them have to get weeded out.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you do that? And
it's this list. I look at the list that I have manifested and put out into the universe and I stare at them and I'm like, nope, 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 nope. And you keep it moving. I've gotten really good at the text too. I have like a drafted text. I mean, some of them will probably watch this. It literally is like so clean cut that's just like, hey, it was really great getting to know you. You're a wonderful.
Do you have it?
Yeah. Let me find it. Where is it? You know what's funny is this is an actual text that came manifested through a group of girlfriends. It started with Tinks, the influencer, put it on the internet. And then it was sent to this other influencer girl. And then my friend Caroline sent it to me, and I was like, thank you so much. This is life-changing.
This is amazing. And now it's the gift that keeps on giving.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. The text. I found it. Okay. Hey, exclamation mark. It's been great hanging with you lately. I thought about it over the last few days and I'm not feeling a romantic connection. Wanted to be honest with you as you are great. I know you're looking for the real thing and so am I.
What do they say in response though? Because there's no invitation for them to respond.
Every single time it's been a really like sweet reply that's just like, hey, I think I wish you well also. Like, what are they supposed to say back, you know? Like,
but I kind of love that you're not asking for them to say anything back. It's not like, how does that make you feel, or what are your thoughts on that?
I don't want to keep it going.
Right, yeah, like this is appreciation and decision.
Yeah.
I really love that.
Yeah.
Because I talk about that in relationships, to reject is appreciation, decision, and then invitation to brainstorm, right? So you say like, oh, I thank you so much for, you know, I love that you find me attractive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit too tired tonight, so I'm going to just prioritize rest. I have a workout class. I want to keep that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
What's your plans later on this week? Let's see if we can get, you know, find some time for intimacy then.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need the invitation to brainstorm when you're like, I can just stand on my decision and that's what it's going to be. Because I know a lot of women who get stuck in the nice guy, even though they're not my guy relationships, and I'm using guy interchangeably. It could be just anybody that you're like, they're just a nice person. They're really kind to me. And I feel like I owe it to them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I owe this person.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've invested so much in me and they love me so much, so the least I could do is pretend.
Yeah.
Why is that faulty thinking?
Because the best thing you can do for that person is actually let them go and find the person that is their person. You're holding each other back. That's actually the sad part of how I got out of that relationship. It wasn't because I just knew it wasn't right for me and it's time to go. It was like, I wanted him to be okay. It's such a like woman behavior thing in me that like I care so deep and I want him to be okay. I kept telling myself, okay, it's time for you to do this and end this because it's better for him. It's better for him. It's better for him. And that's what got me to do it. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but that was what made me and helped me actually pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't worried about my own feelings. I was worried about his. And I realized that even though it'll hurt so deep.
Whatever gets you there.
Yeah, truly. Yeah. That's literally it. It's the same with the firing employees too, by the way. It's like, I have to remind myself that like, it isn't working out for them here and they will wake up one day and realize it's better for them to be elsewhere. It's interesting. That's another principle that works for both personal and professional.
And I wonder how much more we can uncover if we just kept talking.
I know, but we should eat sushi now.
We should eat sushi now. Yeah, 100%. Thank you so much. This has been such a joy.
Thanks for coming.
And thank you for giving me the opportunity to play with all these gorgeous products. You have really exciting ones that are launching. Can you give a little preview of what's happening?
We are doing...
What happened at the board meeting? Let's get...
Oof, that was an intense one, but in a good way. So much going on. But the good news is this Glotion, this one just launched. By the time this podcast comes out, this is our Mineral SPF 50. It is a glowy product for face and body. It's the best. It's the best. I'm trying not to go into my pitch mode because that's what I do. But then in the fall, we're expanding complexion. So like our concealers and our skin tints are our best sellers. And then we're going to expand to more complexion products.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Congrats to you, by the way. I feel like I'm saying this on your podcast, but Masterclass is a big ass deal. How cool.
Very cool.
She's a big deal. It's
incredibly
amazing.
Cool. I'm inspired by you just to accept the compliment and say it is incredibly cool. And I feel very gifted. And I'm so glad that my work continues to expand, which allows me to meet really interesting people who I can always learn from. And I learned a lot today.
Wow.
I really did.
I learn every single time I watch your videos. So that means a lot.
Real recognize real.
Thank you, Deepika, for such a necessary conversation. Obviously, I have so much to say about this, and so I called in my lovers community. But before we get to that, I gotta let you know, Deepika's company, Live Tinted, will be expanding their concealer and skin tint complexion the fall, and they have also launched a new glowy product, the Mineralize SPF 50. You can get your glow on with Live Tinted online at livetinted.com or find them in store at Ulta Beauty. Speaking of beauties, thank you for listening to this episode of Lovers. If hearing about Deepika's list made you reflect on your own, I wanna let you know that I made a free resource for singles available to everyone on loversbyshan.com. If you don't know, Lovers by Shan is my new site where you can ask an AI trained on 20 years of my work anything. It's also where you can get free resources and quizzes, sign up for my newsletter, and last but not least, it's where you can sign up for the waitlist for the Lovers community, which is how you can be a part of future episodes of the podcast. Speaking of which, I can't wait to see you on a future episode of the podcast.
And just throw this conversation is out there in the world, because around the time that I was 35, which is the age that Deepika is, the rhetoric online was like 35, washed up, not attractive anymore. And then it was especially an attack on like successful 35-year-old women. It's like, you think you're a prize, you're not a prize, lower your standards, average at best. Like, these were the messages that were being put out there. So to know that we have this counter message of like 35, never been better, never been more successful, have no plans on turning myself down or dimming my light or dimming my presence, my essence, my masculinity in any capacity. And I want the exact relationship that I've dreamt of my entire life, and I want it now. I just love it, but I want to know what you guys think.
I thought it was really refreshing to hear that perspective, especially as someone who never really compromised who I was, what I wanted, and both my masculine and feminine side to my current partner. When she said that, I wanted to be like, you go, girl. I can speak for that and say that you can find everything that you ask for, and you don't have to dim your light.
From my perspective, it felt really empowering to hear her talk about her masculine, or talk about wanting to be able to have both and wanting to find a relationship where both are accepted. I work with men in my life on a daily basis, so I kind of don't really turn off my masculine, and it's also kind of been a point of contention in my relationship, because it's like my partner thinks that I see the men that I work with when I come home. Like, he thinks that I think he's them.
Do you know what I like to think about it more? I like to think about it like bass and treble, right? You don't necessarily turn off the bass or turn up the treble or disable one or the other. It's a mixing balance that has to be happening. It's like, you don't have to stop the progress that you have or turn it off, but instead it's just maybe building up the other side so it's just as competent. And then of course it speaks to the fact that we can do that when we're in an environment where we feel like that side of ourselves is nurtured and that side of ourselves can flourish.
Queer perspective, I feel like I don't have to deal with that, where gender norms are, depending in the context or the people that you're with, but gender norms are so not an expectation, where you can just ebb and flow and like have either a masculine presenting appearance, be very feminine, or just like that fluidity. And then I get to know you for who you are, instead of having to, and having that pressure to perform or to be this feminine version of myself, or to expect masculinity out of someone.
I feel like that's a very interesting question to ask any straight man, especially when you're on a date, maybe like the third or fourth date, is like, how do you embrace your feminine side and see how they react?
Yeah, because when you were talking, Yancy, I feel like it resonated for me is, I'm in a heterosexual relationship, but I feel like I date in a queer context where I don't have to think about those things so rigidly. I do think about my partner's needs. I do think about what is called of me in each moment. I am still thinking about the roles that are required of me to successfully partner with somebody, but those roles are not heavily tied or associated with gender. I wanna ask in general, if you guys feel like we're giving false hope, because that is a part of the manosphere, or I think the rise of the man on a microphone, you know, in 2020 was him trying to humble women and them trying to like educate women that like, you're not that great either. Take accountability. You have to lower your standards. You can't expect all of this and then you're that in return. Is there any part of you that feels like, you know, telling women they can have it all, that they can be themselves, that they can get exactly what they're looking for, they can be 35, they can still pursue the family of their dreams at that age, and they don't have to make concessions based on timeline or availability or a scarcity mindset? Do you think there's anything dangerous about that?
I think her intentionality and the way that her list was, it just kind of was like,
I don't know, I just want someone that will complement my life and not complete me. I already have a life that I love.
But similar to what you were saying, Shan, when she listed everything out, is prioritize three things, and eventually I'm pretty sure all those boxes will be checked. But if your list is like 10 things, then probably it's worth reconsidering.
I just feel like there are men that are amazing in more supportive roles. I don't know. I feel like my relationship with my husband was very much that, where, you know, I was making more money and, you know, he was being more of a support. And now it's completely changed, but it was never a way of feeling, he never felt less than.
That makes me think of what Shan said in the episode about if we both align on the mission of the relationship, then being submissive to that is what should be focused on. So my best friend is that. and we actually have been having a conversation about family planning for her. And we were having a conversation about freezing her eggs because she told me she wants to be a mother, and I definitely want that for her.
I think that it's keep doing, like, do things that you enjoy doing. If you start taking away all of the things that make you you, I'm like, are you going to be happy long term? Growing up in the church, I know way too many people that got married way too young, and I'm seeing divorces already. And I'm like, are you going to be happy in the relationship if you decide to not be picky, quote unquote? Are you actually going to be happy? Is that going to be happy, or are you going to be like, well, and I have a man now, so that's nice.
It's just such a gift to be amongst my people. Thank you guys for being my chosen people and for choosing to be here. Let's keep talking because I have a bit more time if you do. But for everybody else watching, thank you for watching this episode of Lovers, and we'll see you next time.
Big shout out to the Lovers by Shan community. This is a space that I created for people who love love. It's for those of us who are passionate about reaching our intimate potential. On my site, you're going to find an AI trained on 20 years of my work where you can ask any questions. You'll also find free quizzes and resources, plus a place to sign up for my weekly newsletter, and last, but certainly not least, information on the Lovers by Shan community. If you want to be a part of intimate conversations just like the one you just saw, join the waitlist, and hopefully I'll meet you soon, lover.